1 Kings chapter 19. I miss Brother Leeper on the guitar. Yeah, true. But might say Ms. Noble told me she heard from her son. He'd been in the Philippines, and he told her while they were there they had 34 saved. So what a blessing. What a blessing that is to hear that. Good report there from them. All right, you're there in 1 Kings chapter 18. Very well-known passage. We've been already here for a couple of weeks. I just want to begin in verse 19. Verse 19, if you will. The Bible said, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Now, I want to preach to you this evening using these scriptures as our basis. I want to preach to you on the problem with modern Christianity. The problem with modern Christianity. When Elijah came, it says here in verse 21, he came unto all the people. I just want to remind you who those people were. Okay, I want to remind you who those people were. They were the people of God. They were folks that we refer to, as I said, God's chosen people. It was the nation of Israel, all right? It wasn't just a group of people that had gathered together because they thought there was going to be a big show to see. These were God's people, all right? These were the folks who had a history of God intervening on their behalf, right? You understand that. We can't lose track of that. It was their ancestors that God had miraculously brought through the Red Sea. Hey, they had that history. That wasn't only unknown to them. These were the folks who God had provided for and fed in the wilderness for 40 years. It was their ancestors. They were the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey. He had helped them to conquer that land. They had a history and a heritage far beyond that of anybody else, any other nation, any other people. Yet they found themselves in the position in our text. As Elijah said, they're halting between two opinions. Is it, who's going to be God, all right? Is it going to be Baal or is it going to be God? Now you say, well, preacher, but there's nothing like that today. Well, I beg to differ. I thoroughly beg to differ. I don't think it's changed a whole lot. Now, I'm not talking to you about the nation of Israel. I'm talking about people today that name the name of Christ and have the title of Christians, profess to be the child of God and the children of God. They face the same, well, we see them facing that same problem today that they did in Elijah's day. I just want to look at it for a few minutes with you, okay? And not to chew you out, but to help you to understand today. Because I don't believe it's you, all right, but I believe it's modern Christianity. Number one, they couldn't decide who was God. They couldn't decide. Simple choice. Simple choice, Baal or Jehovah God. Just simple, all right? He said, if the Lord, and those folks knew the Lord was Jehovah God. If he's God, let's follow him. If it's Baal, then follow him. You see, not only did the nation of Israel have a wonderful history and a heritage of God taking care of them and providing for them, but they also had a sad history of serving idols and then coming back to God. You read the book of Judges. They'd get messed up in idolatry and get away from God. God send a judge. He'd deliver them. They'd get back to serving the true God for a while, and then they'd slip back into Baal and idol worship. Hey, unfortunately, you had the history in both ways, all right? And they had waffled back and forth between the true God and a false God down through the years. So God had, down through the years, sent those to help them. He had sent prophets to them to preach to them. He had operated on their behalf over and over again. The worship of Baal truthfully brought nothing upon them but misery, heartaches, trouble, but they still couldn't make up their mind as to who they would follow and who they'd serve. You said, "Preacher, there's nobody in our country serving Baal." I think you're probably right. I don't know that there's anybody in modern Christianity that's serving Baal. But here's the problem. It's not Baal, but there's plenty of other false gods. There's plenty of other false gods. I can't help it. I believe this is true not just of the unsaved world. I believe it's true of a lot of people that name the name of Christ. We've made sports, and we've made God of sports. We've built huge cathedrals for them where sports is worshipped. Now, I'm not preaching against, I like a ball game. I enjoy a ball game. I don't watch the NFL anymore. And when you get somebody called Bad Bunny to do the halftime show at the Super Bowl, I figure you've definitely lost your mind, okay? Now, I'll be honest, I'd never heard of Bad Bunny until that deal. But I looked up, and what I've heard, you can have him, all right? But I want nothing to do with him, all right? But hey, just as far as a ball game, I'll be honest with you, Jerry's World over there is a magnificent place to go and watch high school football. And I do enjoy that. But hey, we've taken sports and we've elevated it to a godhood status. All right? We've elevated it to a godhood status. Some of the biggest times of that they're there, have you noticed it's on Sunday? You notice it's on Sunday? See, we've taken the Lord's Day. We've taken the Lord's Day. And there's a host of people named the name of Christ who would have nothing wrong with that and would tell me, "Preacher, you're just, you know, going overboard." No, I think we have. Great amounts of money are given to sustain that worship. Great amounts of money. I've never seen anybody... at the ticket booth going, "Well, when are we going to do this?" That's the way that crowd acts when they're in the house of God and the offering plates pass. I don't see too many of them talking about athletes as money-grubbing rascals. But boy, we accuse God's people and God's servants of being that. Hey, I'm just telling you, we've made gods out of that. The truth of the matter is, I believe a lot of people made God out of money, all right? And we worship at the feet of money. Folks will do things for gold they'd never think about doing for God. But they'll do it for gold. They'll sacrifice, they'll give of their time, they'll overwork themselves, they'll give it all. But that same person sat in the house of God and the preacher say, "Hey, we need volunteers to help us here." They answered him not a word, okay? There it is. They answered him not a word. I'm just saying we've focused, we've made gods, all right? You can mark it down. I don't care what it is. Anything that an individual allows to get between them and God, anything that gets elevated and given position of God above God becomes your God. Becomes your God. People invest time and money in their gods. More thought and time are given to them than they give to the God of the Bible. I'm saying when that's true, you have a problem. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think the problem is even bigger than that. He said, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, we live in a day where people have crafted a God to their own liking. I heard somebody say this years ago, do not remember who, I would give credit if I did, but the Bible said God created man in his own image and man's returned the favor. We've created God in our image. We've made God be the way we want. You hear people saying, well, I just don't believe my God would do this and this and this. God has been crafted. He is simply a God of love and caring and forgiveness. He's a God of no judgment. He's a God of no absolutes. I've heard people say this, he understands my sinning. And that is said in a way to indicate that it's therefore okay to sin, whatever the sin is. I've had people tell me, me and God have an understanding. Can I just say this to you? All of that is said in regards to a God that does not exist, except between the ears of those that have come up and concocted that God. We've built a God, many, and by the way, I'm talking about people that profess to be Christian, folks that tell you they're on their way to heaven. They've crafted a God, though, that does not resemble the God of the Bible. Doesn't resemble him at all. And when some old fiery lung preacher gets up and preaches this book, they take offense and say, my God's not like that. Then your God's not the God of the Bible. If you have a God that is not a God of wrath and that is not going to judge sin and think he puts his approval on your sin and he puts his okay on that, then you have a God that is not the real thing. You've got one that you've come up with, all right? You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we're in the same situation today that they were in Elijah's day. People can't really decide what God's going to be their God. Which God? Is it going to be the God of Elijah and the God of Elisha, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or is it going to be the God that we've invented, we've come up with, and we've designed? We have designer everything now. I guess we got designer God, okay? We men think, well, we can do it. But it even goes past that. Not only can they not decide who's going to be God, we live in a day where God's people, people that name the name of Christ, will not take a stand for God. They will not take a stand. When Elijah challenged the people of God here, the Bible says the people answered him not a word. Now, I just want to submit to you, it was a just and fair proposition. I mean, here it is. If the Lord be God, then follow him. If Baal be God, then follow him. Wait a minute, you do understand he was talking to people that had been sacrificing to Baal, do you not? You understand he's talking to a host of people that have turned their back on the Lord God. They've been sacrificing to Baal. I just want to tell you this, if you'd have been there and you were a Baal supporter, you should have stood up and said, I'll follow Baal. But man, you present that same challenge in our day and the people answer you not a word. Well, we don't say anything. Well, hey, preacher, I got to be careful. You know, you don't understand what's on the line here. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Hey, they didn't have the courage to stand up for their God that had done so much for them and their nation. Now, you could look at it and you could say, well, preacher, we don't come from that. I mean, God didn't take us through the wilderness. Can I just point out to you, there's some wildernesses we've been through. We've been through some wilderness. Can I take you back to 1776? Take you back to 1776 when 13 colonies strung along the eastern seaboard of this continent got together and said, we're going to declare ourselves independent of Great Britain. They were challenging the greatest power in the world in that day. If there was a superpower in that day, it was Great Britain. And they were saying, we're declaring ourselves independent of you. And friend, I don't know if you've read history, and this one reason you ought to read history, okay? You ought to know something. You ought to sit down and read the book 1776 by a fellow named David McCullough. If you sit down and read that book, you'll read the story of a nation that got beat and got beat and got beat and lost the battle and lost the battle and lost the battle and lost the battle. But here we are. Here we are. You just check it out, all right? Here we are. You read the account of what went on. You read the account of that Revolutionary War. You read the account of a fellow by the name of George Washington. Now, we see historians today try to downgrade him, but that man knew how to get on his knees and ask for God for help. And you can't explain the survival of that ragtag army over the redcoat army without saying God did it. You can't do it. You can vent everything you want to. But buddy, you study the history of the United States, you study the history of a nation who's been blessed by God. And it wasn't Baal. It wasn't a false god. It was the God of the Bible. Because we honored him, okay? Oh, we weren't everything that we should be, never have been, never will be. But we had, there was a pattern of things. We honored our God, okay? There was a day yonder on December the 7th of 1941, and you listened to the news broadcast, you would have been amazed. You read the history over there. I tell you that, you know, I've told you before, I'm interested. I have a great interest in the history of World War II in the Pacific. And you read the battles over there. The Japanese Navy was superior to the United States Navy. They were especially superior in nighttime warfare. And you read the history over there as Japan just conquered one area after another. Just took them over. We sent Navy over there. Our ships were sunk. And we couldn't handle them in warfare. But I've got in my library a book sits on my shelf, and the title of it is The Miracle at Midway. The Miracle at Midway. You said, what happened? Don't have time to tell you. Read the book. Educate yourself a little bit. And remember, God did that. God did that, okay? And he just worked it out. It was a miracle. And we were able to recover from that. We were able to win that war. I'm just telling you, we're a nation that's been supremely blessed by God. Those people around this world will do anything to get inside the United States because living here in a slum here is better than living in a lot of countries around this world. Why? We've been blessed by God. We've been blessed by God. But we live in a day where Christian people can't decide and can't take a stand for their God. Will not step up, will not say, hey, that's my God. Those folks there, they were waiting to see what Elijah might expect of them to do in making that decision. They had a wait and see attitude about them, all right? Didn't have the courage to step up. Folks, same way today. They don't want to make a solid commitment to God. Just get in there, all in, I'm on, and I'm with you. Don't want to go on record for him. Don't want to stand up. We're afraid, well, what's that commitment going to cost me? What's it going to do? Is it going to bring trouble in my life? Is it going to bring trials? Is it going to bring persecution upon you? It may do all of that. But because of that, we see so many today that will not identify themselves with the God of the Bible. I'm just saying to you, that is a great problem with Christianity and what we have today. Because of it, it is a very weak Christianity. very weak Christianity. I don't want you to see the final thing. They would not move on faith. Would you look at verse 24? Elijah's still speaking. He's told them, all right, let's get these altars. Let's lay on the wood. Let's put a sacrifice on top. Let's don't put any fire under it. And we're going to do it. We're going to call. You call on the name of your gods. I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. I want you to notice carefully what they said. And all the people answered and said, we'll do it. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what they said. They said, it is well spoken. It is well spoken. Now, I just want to ask you, do you consider that a full commitment? Is that the same as, amen, Elijah, we'll do that. We'll do that. Whichever one sends fire, we will. That's not that. It's well spoken. It is well spoken. Good speech. You know, sounds pretty good, but we need to wait and see. We need to wait and see. They wanted to wait and see before they took a stand. Now look, you folks in here, you're not new to the Lord. You've heard enough preaching just being around here. If you've been here just a little bit, you've heard a lot of preaching on faith. Faith. We have a perfect book that tells us the just shall live by sight. Right? Well, it doesn't say that. It says the just shall live by faith. It says we walk by faith. And not by sight. Now that's what the Bible says. The Bible puts so much emphasis on faith. Remember when the disciples were there with the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, Lord, increase our sight. No, they didn't say that. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Because this whole matter of Christianity is based and solidly upon faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please him, all right? But man, the world of Christianity today, we know what the Bible says, but most won't move on faith. Most will not move on faith. We have a mission conference every February. We challenge people to use the faith promise giving and say, okay, I'm going to trust God and I'll give to him, and I'm going to trust that. But what we see the majority of folks do is go back to our house, pull out the checkbook, lay down the budget. I got a dollar and a quarter left over. There it is, all right? Lord, I'm going to trust you for that dollar and a quarter. Well, you're not trusting God. You're not trusting God. There's no faith there. You figured it out to the penny. You understand what I'm saying? Faith. Faith in God. Just trust in him. Faith to step out. Faith to say, Lord, you're calling me, and you put your call on my life to go to the mission field. Here I am, Lord. No, it's, you got to be kidding. Hey, we just want you to serve the Lord. We need some Sunday school teachers and we need some bus workers. Preacher, I'll volunteer. I'll step out on faith. You say God will help me and he'll enable me to do it. I'll do that. Most of us don't do that way. That's not the way we operate. Tell you the truth of the matter is we profess faith. We claim to live by faith. We claim to walk by faith. But we want to see how it's going to come out before we step out. How's it going to be? There was 12 fellas on the boat ride one night. And they looked up and saw somebody walking. They figured out it was the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say whatever you want to about Peter. But he's the only one who had faith to get out of that boat. The preacher, you said you'd have got out of that boat? I don't know. Never been in that position. Never been in that position. But I'm just saying, by and large, God's people today, we don't move by faith. We figure it out. We figure out how we can do it. And we I can do this, and I can swap around here, and I can, you know, I guess I can give God a little more of my time, you know. I don't know how. But we see how, we want to know how it's going to work before we step out. Can I just say to you, you never please God that way. You'll never please God that way. That's one of the reasons I look around and I see the mega churches that exist, but I don't see mega Christianity. I don't see mega Christianity. I see a very weak brand of Christianity. It's hard to even identify it with the folks in the Word of God. Why? Because we won't move on faith. We will not step out on faith. We really don't want to take a stand for God. So many of that crowd doesn't want to take a stand for God. And so many of them are still really undecided about who God really is. Is he the God of the Bible, or is he the God of the modernistic preacher? Which one is it? Now look, we castigate the crowd on Carmel. We do. We look at them and we think, man, those sorry guys, look at there. There's Elijah. He stepped up to the plate. He's already told them it's not going to rain till I say it's going to rain. And sure enough, it hadn't rained. I guess they could have got together and said, lucky guess. But we castigate them. But yet, I think we need to back off a little bit and take a look and see how much like them we really are. How much like that crowd are we, all right? We can't, so many can't or won't really and finally decide who's going to be God. And I want to tell you, it is, have you ever noticed how many Christians it's so hard for them to go all in? It's so hard for them to go all in. Look, here I am. I'm preaching our Sunday night crowd. And our Sunday night crowd is basically the Wednesday night crowd, too. God bless your heart. I'm not mad at you, okay? But do you understand? Do you see what I'm saying? There's so many in Christianity that they're not all the way in. They're a little bit in. Little bit in. It's kind of like going to the beach, if you will, or the lake, or I guess we'll go to pool. City people are afraid to get in water. They can't see the bottom. But, I remember swimming down in Village Creek, down where my grandparents lived, down there. And it runs through what's now the Big Thicket. That was before the Big Thicket days. And, man, that creek was spring-fed. You talk about cold. That water was cold. And I can remember going in on the 4th of July, wading in slowly, letting the iciness creep up and the numbness move up, you know, and not jumping in. I was with a friend of mine out in Odessa, and we had gone out there, and there was a pool, and we were going to swim, and he shoved me in. And, man, that water was cold, all right, and cold. But that's not the way we normally get in. We get in with the toe. I just want to test the waters a little bit. Do you see how few? Look, I hope you don't misunderstand the spirit in which this message is delivered. It's delivered with a broken heart. Because there's so many professing Christians in our day that really can't fully make up their mind what they're going to do. And they're faithful a little while, and then they're not faithful. They're in and they're out. They're in and they're out. I'm not mad at them. I'm brokenhearted, okay? I just see, man, you don't understand. Get in all the way. Get in all the way. You and I, you're there. You're not sitting there. At least I hope none of you are sitting there tonight thinking, man, what else we could have been doing with our time tonight?
Preacher, would you hurry up and get through? You know, there's things we want to get to. And alive, we focus on that, and the world consumes us. And the God is not really our God. Because we've not decided, I'll wholly give myself to Him. Preacher, I can't come to church because you expect me to get up and show up for Sunday school. You realize that starts at 10 o'clock in the morning? You got to be kidding. Can't get up. You get up all the other days of the week. People get up every day of the week. They're at work at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. But on Sunday, preacher, Sunday's the only day I have to sleep in. Well, don't, because you're serving the Lord God. He deserves to be God. And He deserves us to get in all the way. He has been so good. So good. Do you ever stop and think about how good God's been to you? Just stop and think what He's done for you. Oh, my soul. And we sit here, as a church, we sit here in an air-conditioned building, padded pews, everything's paid for. We're not laboring. We can give to God. And you say, well, we don't need to give. It's all paid for. Yeah, you do. You need to give so it keeps you right with God. Hey, I mean, just everything. God has blessed us above and beyond. I stand here at 71 years old. I graduated from high school over 50 years ago, and I can go online and look and see how many that I went to high school with that graduated in the same class with me. They died. God's allowed me to live a long time. God's been good, man. I got that 3 score and 10 in, all right? He still allows me to stand and do what I enjoy doing more than I enjoy doing anything else. Man, thank God. I know people my age that are already beset with dementia. I've only got a little problem with it. Hey, my young, you get the picture. God's been good. And we won't declare He's our God. Who's your God? It's the God of the Bible. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the God that brought Israel out of Egypt, took them across the Red Sea, miraculously took care of them for 40 years, gave them that country. Hey, by the way, it's the God that promised Abraham, that's your land, and that'll be your land forever. And there's some people in this whole world finding out God hadn't changed His mind. God's not changed His mind. That land still belongs to them. And I stand here as one who's blessed to be in the United States of America. God's been good. Man, I've got a house that's paid for. I've got 2 cars that are paid for. I've got a wife that's almost paid for. And she's got a husband that she's still paying on, all right? But we'll be doing that as long as we live, all right? But God's been good. Do you understand that? The goodness of God. And I won't take a stand for Him. What in the world is wrong with us? We'll not move on faith. We read the Bible. We say we believe it. But we think, yeah, God did that for them, but He wouldn't do that. Yet He has, and He will. Hey, listen, I just challenge us to pray and to help that group that doesn't understand. You can trust God. This God, you don't have to build one but for yourself. This is the God of this book. Man, there's nothing, there is nothing like serving Him by faith. There's just nothing like doing what He wants you to do. I mean, it beats a fire out of everything else. I see people going through life, doing everything they can, trying to be happy, and I look at them and think, you're not as happy as I am. Now, you may have a house that's a palace, man. You know, 14 bedrooms, 15 bathrooms. got a gym in it, got a garage that'll, you know, got 15 new vehicles sitting in there. You got all that stuff, got the tennis court and swimming pool and everything, but you're not any happier than I am. Matter of fact, most of them aren't as happy as we are. We found out serving the Lord's a way to live. That's the way to live. Hey, we've got a problem in modern Christianity. Let's not let that problem become our problem, okay? Don't let that problem become your problem. Hey, I know who God is. I know who God is. And I know I can trust Him. I know I can serve Him by faith. I know He's going to do what He said He'll do. And I'm not going to be afraid to stand up for Him. I'm not going to be afraid to take that stand and say, well, it'll cost you. Fine. Say you'll lose some friends. Not good friends anyway. Not good friends anyway. It's okay. You with me? Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help us tonight. Lord, help us see the truth of the Scripture. What a sad day that the people of God, the nation of Israel, could not decide who God was. But Lord, it's an even sadder today when here we stand, thousands of years later, knowing what God has done, seeing His handiwork, knowing about it. And we've got people today that profess Christianity, but they have a hard time deciding who God is. Lord, so many trying to build a God in the image they want Him to be, instead of taking You at Your word. Lord, help us to not ever fail to stand up for You. Say, that's my God. That's my God. And to serve You, Lord, to move on faith, to do what You would have us to do. Lord, speak to us tonight. Lord, we have the invitation, the altars here. If we need to do business with You, what a joy it is to know You hear us. We can come at any time. Bow here and meet with You, and You meet with us. Lord, help us use the invitation tonight. Use the altar if You're dealing with us. In Your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand together tonight? We'll sing an invitation to Him. If God's speaking to you, if you need to come, the altar's open. All right? Use it tonight, would you, while we sing? Come on.
I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me.